Father God, we thank you, Lord, that we can gather here this morning. We give you praise, O Father, Lord, for all that you have done in our lives. Father, as we come together, O Father, this morning, Father, we ask that, Lord, you fill us with your Spirit, your Holy Spirit that transforms life, O Father. We ask that, Lord, you prepare our hearts and our mind, O Father, to receive, O Father, Lord, the message that you have in store for us this morning. Father, we pray that, Lord, by the leading of your Holy Spirit, O Father, you help us, O Father, to remember, O Father, and to practice, O Father, Lord, all that we learn, O Father, Lord. That, Lord, our main objective, O Father, is to be more and more like you, O Father, Lord. Our main objective, O Father, Lord, is to do your will, O Father, Lord, in this earth, O Father, Lord. For, Lord, it's not our will, O Father, Lord, that we should carry it out, but it is your will, O Father. The Lord, that is because you have redeemed us, each and every one of us here, O Father, Lord, by your precious blood and by your precious sacrifice. Therefore, Lord, we just dedicate ourselves, O Father, Lord, this morning, and also our lives, O Father, Lord, to you, Father, Lord, for your service. We ask the Lord, you lead us and guide us, O Father, Lord, in receiving, O Father, Lord, your word. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Alright, let's get started right away. Now the message this morning is actually rather personal to me, because it's also addressed a very prevailing issue in my life, right? Now, for those who know me a little bit better, you know that for the past 3 years has actually been a pretty, it's almost the busiest period of my entire life, right? You can see me always running up and down, you know, working in church, and also my own job that sometimes hardly I can have any spare time to even to rest or even to do what I like, right? But fortunately, this past 3 years has also been the most life-changing ones, right? So a typical day in my life is obviously full of activities. Like my mind is almost always thinking of the numerous things that I need to do. So I'm sure you read about a similar story in the Bible, right? You know, the story of Mary and Martha, right? So I'm definitely the Martha type. I'm not the Mary type that sit at the feet of Jesus. I'm the one who is up and running around. You know, there's 1,001 things of on my to-do list that my mind is always thinking of what to do next. That's just me, and I'm trying hard to change that, of course. So very often I can't seem to get my mind to rest. So I always has this too much to do and too little time syndrome, right? And increasingly I see, in our modern world that we live in right now, this has somehow been the lifestyle of most people. I'm sure you agree with me, because, you know, we work hard to earn more money, sometimes even to the point of sacrificing our health, right? Because we devote so much time to our work. Like, compared to my parents' time, or even my grandparents' time, right? Nowadays, many women are in the workforce, right? They now need to work so they can earn a dual income to the family, so that, you know, by having a dual income, we can afford better things in life. And you know what they call this? They call this the rat race, right? You're just like a rat racing in the secular world, in the business world, in the job, right? So increasingly, you know, I see that, you know, we got all our priorities messed up. Right, you know, if you're a woman, being a woman, you know, you'll be worried about your house chores, you'll be worried about perhaps cooking, cleaning your laundry, or even appointment with your hairdresser, your nail salon, or even a tea with your girlfriends. Right, and how about the man? The man will be obviously concerned with work, with appointment, with business plan, with football, or TV. Right, we are all occupied in this, with all this, right? And the children themselves, they are tied up with tuition, with homework, with piano classes, ballet classes, right, singing classes, and all those, and then everything. So basically, nowadays, everyone is busy. Isn't it? So I see this so-called busyness of life is one way or another the Satan's tool to prevent us from growing in Christ. Because somehow or rather, many of us has been simply too busy for God. Right? So, I must admit, I myself is absolutely guilty of that, because I also spend not enough time, you know, sitting down at the foot of Jesus, right? So how do we come into realization of the importance of spending time with God? I believe sometimes we really need to come into grips with our own mortality to put things in the right perspective. What do I mean? I mean the understanding that our life really begins when our life on earth ends, right? I mean, to put it in a very bluntly way, I can't even say for sure that I will be able to walk out of this sanctuary this morning alive, because I'm here alive because of the grace of God. So every day is indeed a gift from God. So I need to ask myself, how have I used my life to prepare for eternity? Right? Then I become to realize that how little time I actually spend in prayer, in studying the Bible, in meditation on the Word, in communion with God. Am I really walking with God daily? Right? These are all the questions that we see, you know, because we are all too preoccupied with the things of this world sometimes. But when we start to think about eternity, when we start to think that everything that we are working so hard for will one day be gone, and we start to think that, you know, our life on this earth is limited, we are all mortals, but our real true life actually begins after our life here on earth. That's where, you know, are we really prepared for that eternity with our Lord Jesus Christ? So, you see, brothers and sisters, I want to know, when I meet God face to face finally when I leave this earth, will He say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," or will He actually say, "I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness"? Right? That is a very profound, or a very heavy thing for us to ponder on. Right? So now, having said that, God is fair to all of us, right? Because He has given every one of us the same 24 hours in a day, right? None of us has more, and none of us has less, right? So we all have all these 24 hours in a day. I have 24 hours, you have 24 hours, brother behind has 24 hours in a day, right? So in 1 week, we have 7 days. So 24 multiplied by 7, in 1 week, you would have 168 hours. Now, we need to ask ourselves this very bluntly, right? How much time do we actually spend in prayer? Let's take, for instance, if we only use 10%, right? I'm just talking about 10%. That would be 18.8 hours in a week, or 2.4 hours a day. 2.4 hours a day translate to 2 hours and 24 minutes. Now, how many of us actually spend 2 hours and 24 minutes each day praying, right? You don't need to answer me that, you just have to ask yourself. Okay, that is just about praying. Just only 10%. Okay, now, besides praying, we also ask of ourselves, how about the time spent studying the Word, right? During my last sermon, I've mentioned about how important it is, you know, how wonderful it is to have this Word of God with us, this Bible with us. So this is God's love letter to us, and how important it is for us to understand it, so that we can live our life righteously before God according to God's will. Right. So now, how many time we spend studying the Word? Do we use another 10%, or equivalent to 2 hours and 24 minutes a day? Do we spend that much time every day? Right. So I kind of doubt any one of us here, myself included, of course, actually spends that much time in prayer and in studying the Word daily. I'm not even talking about weekly. Of course, every week we have that an hour and a half or 2 hours weekly Bible study. So this is daily. So just now, you know, during our church service, we do give tithes, we do give offering to God, right, of our monetary possession. And you know, normally tithe is like 10% of our income. So if we can give our possession, our money 10% to God every month, are we also able to give 10% of our time? Let's think about it, right? We can pay 10% tithe to the church, but it is actually very or extremely difficult for us to just give 10% of our time in devotion to God. Come to think of it, brothers and sisters, I think sometimes some of us even spend more time in the toilet or in the bathroom, right? Or even being Malaysian, I'm sure some of us even spend more time eating. Right, you have, you know, your breakfast and then your lunch and then your tea time and then your dinner and then your supper. Probably we even spend more than two hours 24 minutes every day eating, just eating to feed our physical body. But we hardly spend so much time in feeding on the word of God that is the food to our spirit. Right. So that is the situation right now. The situation that I myself is facing. You know, that I have come to realization as well. So that's why this morning, the message is, and I want to share is our time with God. Right? So let us just, learn from the greatest example. Let us just look back at what Jesus did when he was, you know, walking on earth. And we can take example from one of the busiest day in Jesus' ministry. Of course, when Jesus was doing his ministry, he also had a lot to do, a day full of schedule. But I'd like to refer you to Mark chapter 1. This is the story of Jesus. Mark chapter 1, verse 21 to 35, right? You can see from the screen here, or if you can refer to your Bible. Starting from 21, the Bible says, "Then I went to Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as a scribe." So basically, we see Jesus, even on the Sabbath day, he went to the synagogue, or in the modern day times, there would be a church to teach, right? Then verse 23 says, "Now there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, 'Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God.' But Jesus rebuked him, saying, 'Be quiet and come out of him.'" So Jesus did deliverance, right? After preaching the word, right? So after doing this, you go on forward, you see, all the people were amazed and they were asking themselves, "Who is this, mighty Jesus? For he preached with authority," right? And then you go on to read, in verse 28, it says, "His fame spread throughout all the regions around Galilee." And then verse 29, it goes on to say that, you know, as the congregation come out of the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew. Right? This is one of the disciples with James and John. But Simon's wife, mother, that means Simon's mother-in-law, lay sick with a fever. And they told him about her at once. So he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her and she served them. So Jesus, after delivering the unclean spirit, he went to the house of the disciple and then healed the mother-in-law of Simon. Right? Right? So that is like practically, I think, the full day is gone. Then we read on continually at verse 32, At evening, when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon possessed, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. Then he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he did not allow the demon to speak because they knew him. Now, brothers and sisters, can you see how jam-packed is a day? Jesus' ministry, he has to teach, he has to heal, he has to do deliverance, he has to, even at night, you know, after all this, you know, when the people, obviously sometimes they cannot attend the church preaching, because they have to work, but after work, you know, all these people, they bring all those who have unclean spirit, all those who have sickness, they bring them to the house, to Jesus, and then throughout all night, whole evening, Jesus will be doing all these miracles. So that is like what we call a really packed schedule, isn't it? He practically has to work from day to night. I don't know what time it ends. The Bible here doesn't say. But interestingly, the verse we want to emphasize here is verse 35. You see, now in the morning, haven't risen a long while before daylight. That's when Jesus woke up very early, even before the break of dawn. Right? He went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. That is the whole verse we want to focus on. You see, Jesus, even in the midst of his busyness, he found time, or rather he made time, right, to set himself apart. He wake up way before the daylight, before daybreak, and he went out. He went somewhere solitary where he can be quiet, to have this quiet time with God. And there he prayed. Right, so this is the example that Jesus gave. And then we find another instance, another example, right? You can see in Luke chapter 22, verse 39 to 46, right? I should read, right? This is another example in Luke. Verse 39, starting from verse 39, we read, "Coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed them. When he came to the place, he said to them, 'Pray that you may not enter into temptations.'" I'm sure you would be familiar right now. This is the time that you know, there was a night before Jesus was, on the night itself that Jesus was arrested. Right? And then verse 41, this is the emphasis again. "And he was withdrawn from them about a stone throw, and he knelt down and prayed." Again, Jesus went into solidarity. He kept himself away from the disciple, and what he did? He prayed again. Right, of course, verse 42, he says, "Father, if it's your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And that's very important. The angel strengthened him as he prayed. And verse 44, "And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly." Can you see what he did? He never gave up. Instead, our Lord Jesus Christ, he prayed even more earnestly. Right? He never lost that connection, you know, or supplication to God, because he knew that is where that he will find his strength. Then we go back to earlier part of Luke, in Luke chapter 5, from verse 15 to 16, right? This is again talking about when Jesus was in ministry. Right, verse 15 says, "However, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitude came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities." This is talking about all the crowd of multitudes going after, chasing after Jesus. Right, and you notice in verse 16 it says, "So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed." So you see, in the 3 years of Jesus' ministry, despite having so many things up to the final night that he was betrayed and he was arrested, Jesus very often withdrew into the wilderness where he can have some quiet time, undistracted, and that is where he prayed to God. Right? Now this is basic Bible 101. I'm sure every one of us know about this story. But I'm just bringing this up again to refresh our mind and to focus our priority. See, we would obviously ask, I mean, Jesus is the divine God himself. Why does he have to pray? I mean, Jesus is part of the triune God. He's part of the Father and part of the Holy Spirit, right? So, although Jesus is the part of the triune God, because he deliberately chose to live his glory in heaven, and while on earth, he chose to depend on God the Father throughout his ministry. Right? You see, brothers and sisters, why does Jesus do this? I believe one of the most important thing is not because he doesn't have power. He chose to leave his power and live as a man so that he can give us a solid example on how we should live. He wants to show us how we should pray to the Father. Right? So he do this to show us how to actually have a relationship with God, right? And he show us the importance of praying. So this is indeed one of the God's character that I can see. Our Lord Jesus Christ actually lead by example. He's not like the Sanhedrin or the Pharisees, you know, that just preach and then you do what I preach. But Jesus do what he preach. And other than that, although he doesn't need to do it, He actually exercised it to give us a very good example. We can actually even see this in the first chapter of Genesis itself. You know, in the creation of earth, you know, we read about how God actually rested on the seventh day. Isn't it? I mean, when you think about it, this is our great creator God. Does he actually need to rest? I don't think he actually need to rest. But he rested because he wants to show us that we as human is supposed to rest as well. That's why throughout thousands of years, throughout the century, people has this Sabbath day. And in modern times, we have this Sunday, you know, where we actually rest, where we actually come to church and to be in communion, in fellowship with each other, and we don't do work because we need to refresh so that we can go on, right? We can persevere. So you see, how wonderful it is, our God, that He showed us, you know, what and how we should do in this world. So now, let us move into our key topic here today, that is spending time with God. Now, I'm sure many of us know, we all know the importance of spending time with God, right? One of the key reasons is so that we can have spiritual growth, right? So we can be like the seed that fall on good ground and not the seed that fall on the wayside or on the stony ground or the seed that fall among the thorns, right? So we want to be on good ground so that we can yield fruits of 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold, right? So we read this story in Mark chapter 4, verse 3 to 8, in the parable of the sower. This is where Jesus said to the disciples, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and it happened, as he sowed, that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on the stony ground, where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it and yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100-fold." Right? So we want to be that part of that good seed. Right? Every one of us who listen to the word of God, who have listened to the story of the gospel, the seed has indeed implanted in us and within us. But we do not want to be the other seed, you know, that fall on the stony ground or fall on the wayside where the birds can come and pick it up, right? We want to be on good ground that bear fruits. So that's the important thing. So basically, to do this, you see, brothers and sisters, we need God in our life, right? We need God in our life. And when is this being said? You know, in John 15 verse 5, Jesus said, John 15 verse 5, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." Right? The word is, without me, you can do nothing. So that is why Jesus Christ, even on earth, He has to pray to the Father. For without the Father, He can do nothing. And like us, right, on earth, without God, we can do nothing. The scripture doesn't say, without God, you can do something. It's plainly mentioned that, you know, without God, without Jesus Christ, we can do nothing. Absolutely nothing. So our life is dependent on God. We need God in our lives, whether we realize it or not, right? So now it comes back to, we come back to visit the time with God. Why is it important? Right, there are a lot of points, right? I just want to, you know, refresh everyone, right? The first one, of course, is, you know, it is a time for refreshing, right? Is it a time, it's just like, you know, if you watch the Formula One car race and, you know, all this car racing laps around the laps, right? There will come a time when this sports car will run out of fuel. This racing car will run out of fuel. And they need to go into that pit stop. And in that pit stop, they will have their change of tires. They will have their petrol tank being filled up. Right? So every one of us also in this world, like I said just now, we are in a rat race. So like we are racing and racing and racing every day. Then come Sunday or come end of the day, we need to be refreshed. We need to be recharged like the battery. No, like the racing car. So we need to get rest. Right? So it's a time for refreshing, to just spend that time alone with God. Right? And then at the same time, it is also like a form of exercise. Right? I'm sure if I want to preach about exercising, a lot of us in this modern day also don't exercise. Again, I myself is guilty. So we need to exercise to be healthy. We need to strengthen our bones. We need to strengthen our muscles so that we don't get sick easily. So it's the same also with the spiritual realm. We need to be exercising our spiritual strength. So we need to build that spiritual strength. So spending time with God is a part of exercise, right? Again, another analogy would be like sharpening the sword, right? We need time to sharpen the sword or to sharpen the axe so that we can be prepared for battle, right? So when I write this, I remember one of the stories that I heard, you know, in school. There was this story about one young man who is strong, and then one old man who has been a woodcutter for many, many years. And so this young man want to challenge the old woodcutter. He said, I'm strong and I'm young, right? I'm just gonna keep cutting the wood, and I'm sure I'm gonna cut more wood than the old woodcutter. But after days and weeks, we find actually the old woodcutter actually cut down more wood than the young man. And then in the end, the young man asked the old woodcutter, why, how is it that, you know, you are weaker than me, but you can cut so much more wood? Because this old woodcutter then tell him that, because at night, I rest, and I sharpen my axe. See, that's the main point. He sharpens his axe, whereas the young and ambitious young man doesn't sharpen, he just keep on chopping the trees down, the wood down, right? So we also need to be sharpened. So we are able to be prepared for the spiritual battle, you know, ahead of us, that the challenges that we face daily. So there are also many other reasons, right? All of them are good, you know. We can also, you know, by spending time with God, we can also, be more easily to find out what is God's will upon our lives, because obviously you need to talk to Him, right? He doesn't send you a text message or He send you a letter in your mailbox, right? So we need to seek Him so that we can find out about what God wants in our life, right? Then the second point is, you know, we can refocus and get our mind off the world and worries about around us. Because every day, you know, it's like firefighting. We have so many crises. We have so many things to attend to in this world. Sometimes our mind is just all clocked up, and you know, we just want to say, I give up, Lord. You know, why don't you just take me home? Right? But our role or our purpose in this life is not to be defeated, right? Because we are overcomers. And how do we become overcomers? You know, we spend time with God. We get refreshed, right? We get sharpened, and we get refocused, right? So we to get our mind off the cares of the world, right? And as we spend more time with God, we also find it is easier for us to worship Him. Because as we spend more time with God, we begin to learn the character of God, you know, the awesome goodness of God, you know, the promises of God upon our lives, you know, we become strengthened, right? So we will find it easier to pour out that love towards Him, that praise and worship. It will come, you know, to worship Him. And then, of course, obviously, one other good thing is, you know, we will naturally become more like Him. You know, when you read more on the Word of God, and when you spend more time in devotion to Him, you know, in getting to know Him. As you know Him more, naturally you will actually be drawn. Your character will also conform to the Word, conform to the Spirit, and you will become more and more like Christ. And now, isn't that one of our greatest purpose in this world, is to change ourselves first and foremost, right? So, So again, you know, we will find it more easier to worship God. We will become more and more like Christ. And most importantly, the more time I spend with God, the more time I will love Him. Isn't it? Because you learn about His goodness. Right? Now in Psalms, we hear about so many of this adoration of David, you know, of praise and worship to God. You know, we read in Psalm 16 verse 11, it says, in God's presence, there is fullness of joy. Right? And then even in Nehemiah 8, verse 10, it says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Right? I have that, you know, actually on my table. The joy of the Lord is our strength. So when we spend time with God, we immediately will get that joy. The joy being in the presence with God. And in God's presence, there is fullness of joy. And in God, with God's joy, you know, that is our strength. Now, brothers and sisters, you know, we have to understand, the devil wants to steal our joy. You see, he's not really after the stuff that we own, right? No, he's not after, you know, all your possession and everything. He just want to go to the stuff that take away our joy. And what is that? You know, because if he can take our joy away, he know that we won't be strong in the Lord. Because we'll all be whiny, we'll all be weak, and then we'll all be deserted. Right? We don't feel the love, and we lose our focus on God. And that is what the devil wants. So we need to fight this, brothers and sisters. We need to focus on God, and we need to build and strengthen our relationship with Him. Right? So now I mentioned about the word relationship. So it is, every one of us here will profess, you know, Christianity is not a legal relationship. It is not a contract, you know, that you sign and you say, thou shall not do this, thou shall not do that. You know, we may have 10,000s and thousands of thou shall not. It will not help us or make us more like Christ, because that is a law. The law just show us our sinfulness. But, you see, brother and sister, Christianity is a love relationship. It is not a legal relationship. Now, how does this happen? You see, man is created by God to have a relationship. This is from the beginning itself. You see, we can read in Genesis, you know, right after the creation of the first man and woman, Adam and Eve, God is seen walking in the garden in the cool of the day to have companionship with them. You see, God created man to have companionship with God. God is, our God is a relationship God. That's why in every one of us, every single human being here longs for a relationship. Right? It'd be very pitiful if we do not have relationship. That's why He gives us this desire to love, to be loved. He gives us this desire to connect with other people. So, this is all the design of God. He created us this way. He wired us this way, right? So obviously, He also wired us to have a relationship with Him. Right? So now, our relationship with Christ can also be likened to a marriage. I'm sure every one of us has read, you know, we describe Christ like our bridegroom, and we are the bride. Even though you are man, you are also a bride of Christ, right? You have to come to terms with that, right? So, and this is an eternal relationship, right? And this is what the Bible says, right? He is our bridegroom, our Lord Jesus Christ, and we are His bride. So it is a love relationship, right? He didn't, you know, sacrifice His Son for us for nothing, right? Now, I just want to bring you to one of the Psalm of David, right? If you have Bible, you can turn to Psalm 8, or you can look at the screen. Like we can have it, you know, published on the screen right now. Psalm 8, the whole Psalm. There's only 9 verses. We can read how David exhorts God. Right? Psalm 8 reads, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Who have set your glory above the heavens? Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. Verse 3 says, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea that pass through the path of the seas. O Lord our God, how excellent is your name in all the earth. So you see, David acknowledges and he even asks God, what is man? Who are we that you are mindful of us? Right? In verse 4, it says, what is man that you are mindful of him? No, you are the great creator God and the son of man that you visit him. You see, God intends to visit us. He is mindful of us. This is again not a God that is far away. This is a God that is reaching his hand out to reach out for us. He says, I want to know you. And I knew your name. He wants to declare his goodness to you upon our life. Right? In verse 5 it says, for you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You see, what an awesome God is this. What an awesome God that we worship. Now, brothers and sisters, would you want a husband like that? I mean, a husband that is reaching out to say, you know, I care for you. You know, I love you. And I want to visit you. I want to spend time with you. You see? So I'm sure, ladies especially, you would definitely want a husband like that. Right? I'm sure you would, because I would as well. Now, when we talk about this in the context of marriage, you know, between husband and wife, what do you call a marriage that the husband doesn't talk to the wife, or the wife doesn't talk to the husband? What do you call a marriage like that? It's absolutely nonsense. Right? It's dead. Yeah. Some people will say that, well, that is a marriage that surely wouldn't break down because they don't talk to each other. Right, they wouldn't have argument. So it is the same. If we call our Lord Jesus Christ our husband, our bridegroom, you know, isn't it necessary for us to always have an open and frank and continuous communication, right, to make this relationship or to make this marriage work with our God, right? So this is the same with our relationship with God. See, we have to understand, if He, our Lord Jesus Christ, is our husband, right? Is my husband, then I really, really need to act like I'm married to him and not cheat on him in this world. Right? You know, all along the Old Testament we read, right, how the people of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. Right? I mean, they are the holy and set apart people. They are the ones married to God, like every one of us. But they cheated on God. Because they worship all the other gods. They will go and worship Baal, right? These are the things that God cannot tolerate. So it's the same for those of you who have husbands or wife, or those of you who have boyfriend or girlfriend, you will relate to this, or even of those of you who doesn't have a significant other, you would relate to this like your relationship with your parents, with your father or with your mother. Or even if you don't have that, you would relate this with your siblings, right? How to make that relationship work? It is through communication. It is through time spent. I'm sure I've seen a lot of people who fell in love. You know, the guys, they want to spend time right after work. They want to rush to the girlfriend's place and spend time talking to them. And the same with the women. No, they want to spend time talking how their days has been, you know? They keep talking non-stop. Right? So isn't this the same that, you know, we are supposed to spend time with God? That we should pour out our lives to Him? That we should communicate our joy, communicate our sadness, our disappointment, our hurt, our pains, our success with God, our Father? because He indeed is our bridegroom, right? So now, how do we spend time with God? This is the next thing I want to talk about. How do we spend time with God? I'm going to start this with the Psalm 42, verse 1 to verse 2. Right, this is a very popular psalm that we even sing of it, right? Verse 1 says, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Right? So this is Psalm of David. Again, David says, you know, my soul longs for thee, like the deer panted for the waters. Right? So we long for that relationship. So when shall I come and appear before God? So I've listed down some practical steps that, you know, that every one of us can take. And the first one is, of course, to set a time and stick with it. Right? That is the first step. That is probably the most important step, you know, because, you know, every one of us, like myself included, sometimes we have diaries, you know. You know, we will say that, you know, okay, Monday we have this meeting, and then Tuesday I will have this tuition class, Wednesday I will have this prayer meeting. So we have everything filled up in our diary. So it is also right for us to put down a specific time in our diary, to diarize it, to say, this is the time that I am spending with God. Right? Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, you must understand that devotion, right? Devotion is a matter of our heart more than a discipline of our day. Right? But, despite saying that, it is also important for us to start. I mean, if you do not have a fixed time or specific time to spend with God, it is always to start with a fixed time. Right? And then the important thing is to stick to it. Right? Mark this down into your diary. Make it an appointment that is not to be missed. Right? Some of us, you know, are a member of a certain club. Probably, you know, we are the Lotarians club, or we attend the Toastmaster club, right? And we know, usually they have either weekly meetings or bi-monthly meetings, right? And if you're a member of that club, and if you doesn't go to that meeting for once, maybe you have to make up time for it, or you will be punished. Right? And if you doesn't attend the meeting consecutively for a few meetings, then perhaps you will lose your membership in that club. Isn't it? So it is the same for us in this relationship with God. We have to set appointment, we have to set time with God, and we have to stick to it. We cannot miss it. If, you know, sometimes in the busyness of our day, if we miss that particular slot, then we have to make it up to it at another time. Right, we have to make up for lost time. So, the practical tips is to set an appointment and an allocated time to meet with God. Right, it could be in the morning, it could be in the afternoon. Now, let me be frank with you and tell you this. When you first get started, you are definitely going to get attacked by the enemy. Because, you know, the enemy will make you sleepy, will make you bored, will make you tired, will make you drain. And you'll find a million reasons just to slip in and not spend that time. Right? Because the devil doesn't want you to spend time with God. Right? So what you need to do is to fight it. You know, you need to consciously tell your flesh what to do. And remember that you are supposed to control your flesh and not let your flesh control you. Now, so the next thing is, you know, what would actually be a good time to spend time with God? Right? One of the great, you know, Christian leaders, Stephen Alford, said, I want to hear God's voice before anyone else in the morning. And His is the last voice I want to hear at night. Right? And of course, we read about the Daniel and David in the Old Testament, you know, they met with God three times a day. You can refer to Psalm 55, verse 17. David say, evening and morning and at noon, I will pray and cry aloud, and He shall hear my voice. So three times a day. And Daniel, in Daniel chapter 6 verse 10 says, now Daniel knelt down on his knees three times that day and pray and give thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Now, brothers and sisters, does it mean that it's a rule of thumb to meet with God 3 times daily? Or should we model after the Muslim, you know, that they have fixed time, 5 times a day they have to pray? Right? It's a very good discipline, actually. Right? Or even like what my grandmother did, you know. They are Taoists, you know. I remember when I was young, you know, every morning at, I don't know, about 7 something or 8 something, he would need to go and put that incense, that joss stick into the altar. Right? And then at noon, sometime at noon, and by 5 o'clock, definitely another time, she need to give that offering to that altar. Right? So they have a fixed time. So shouldn't we as Christian also have a time? But what is a good time? But you see, it doesn't mean that we need to meet 3 times a day or 2 times a day or 1 a day, right? What is important that, you know, whatever time that you set, we just have to be consistent. Because you see, God made every one of us different. Don't you agree with me, you know? Every one of us has a different way of expression. Every one of us has a different way in our daily routine or daily practice, you know. So it depends on our own body metabolism. It depends on our own current lifestyle. You may be more mentally alert in midday, or you may be more mentally alert at night. There is no fixed period to say. You know, I know a lot of people say, first thing in the morning is the best, because you honor God first, right? You put God first before you start to do anything, and then you'll be good. I mean, it works for most people, but not for every people. So you just need to find that time that works best for you, and you know yourself. And when once you have set that time, put it down in your diary and stick to it. So that is the important thing, you see, because the Bible says, you know, the people in the Bible, they pray throughout the day. They pray in the morning, they pray in the afternoon, they pray at night also. So, isn't it wonderful, you see? Because the Bible provides us with a wonderful freedom about when to meet God. So, the central issue here is not what time of the day will work best, right? It's not about a single time that work best for every one of us, but it is about the time that will work best for you and your schedule, because your schedule is different than mine, and my schedule is different than somebody else. So what is important is to have that regular time of the day when God can speak to you through His Word, and you can respond to Him in prayer. Right? So now, after we determine the time, when do we start, we also need to determine the length of time. Right? Not every one of us have the luxury to say, I want to do 2 hours devotion a day. Right? More often than not, it's not about the quantity of time, but rather the quality of the time. You see? So we must also determine, you know, how much time we want to spend in that slot. Right? If we haven't get started yet, you know, we can always start with just 15 minutes, right? And then as we gradually, you know, go into the habit of spending time with God, we can increase it from 15 minutes to half an hour. I'm sure half an hour is a fine time length for everyone, you know. Some people want to spend more. Then you wake up earlier. You know, you want to spend an hour, no? To be in communion with God. So just start with whatever that is comfortable to you. If it's 15 minutes, so be it. 15 minutes every day at 7 o'clock. No, for an example. You see? So, allocate that time, block it in your schedule, and the important thing is give absolutely full attention to God in that allocated time. Turn off your handphone, turn off your TV, lock your door, right? And give full attention to God. You see? So that is how we should do it. And oftentimes, actually, you know, it's easy for us to write it down into our diary, of course. But sometimes, you know, when it comes to that appointed time, sometimes in the busyness of our life, sometimes we just don't have that mood. Don't you agree with me? I mean, sometimes we just don't have them. Ah, yeah, today I just feel lazy. Or today I just feel very sad. You know, I just don't have the mood to worship. I just don't have the mood to pray or read the word. See, but in times like this, it is very important to just persevere. See, brothers and sisters, just to persevere and we exchange our own human strength with the strength of the Lord. Right? Like we read from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, it says, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. You know, the word renew here can also mean exchange. That means God will give us His strength instead of us leaning upon our strength. So we draw strength from God. You see, 2 years ago, I heard a very encouraging testimony. This is from one of the previous workplace that I worked with, and there's this group of Christian, I think about four of them, all ladies, and they, you know what they do is, they somehow felt the need to pray for the place that they work. And because, you know, in Malaysia, most of it are non-Christian and you don't really have a prayer room like the Muslim does. So what they do is, these four sisters, four Christian sisters, they are very zealous for God. And what they do is, they have a promise each other to spend their lunchtime in prayer. And you know what they do is, so every single lunchtime they don't eat. Right? They don't eat and they get together. Sometimes they get together in one of the members' office room, right? One of the members have a room, so they just go into the room, into that office, and they sit down and pray for that half an hour or 1 hour during their lunch break. So somehow God has given them that desire. And the amazing thing is, sometimes you know it may not be that convenient to pray in your office, for instance. And you know what they did that surprised me is they actually went down to the car in the car park and they sit inside the car and pray. I mean, I was like, oh my goodness, this is, you know, so much love for the Lord, so much fervency. They just desired that time to pray to God, you know, in their workplace. They even go down, you know, just four of them just sit together in the car and pray. Right, so it is a very amazing testimony. So now, brother and sister, the first thing is we find a time and a length of time. Then after we find a time, obviously, we need to find a quiet place. Right, a place where we can focus on God. Right, you know, this is what Jesus said. Jesus said, enter into your closet and pray. We can read this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, it says, but you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So what this verse actually says is that, you know, is to just simply find a place of isolation, a place without distraction, where you can shut the door on the world, right? And open the windows to heaven, right? We can read in the Bible, you know, Abraham also has a place where he goes regularly to pray to God. Jesus has a place in the wilderness, you know, some place. He just get out of the crowd to pray to God. So Jesus also did that. He sought out places where he could be alone. So we should do the same. We should also find a place that, you know, we can be alone with God quietly without distraction. Right? So again, it differs from a person to another. Not every one of us, you know, need to come to church to pray. Some of us can pray in the toilet. Some people do that. Some people pray, you know, before shower. Some people pray in their bedroom. Although most of the time bedroom is really not an ideal place because it's easy for you to fall asleep. Right? It's too comfortable. Right? Some people pray, you know, if you have a house of your own, you can have a corner, a room for prayer. No, different people have different, and like the example that I shared just now, you can even pray in the car. Right? You just want to get away from somebody and pray. So that is the important thing. Find a quiet place. So you find a specific time, you fix it at an appointment, and you don't miss it. Remember, it's very important, you know, like I remember when Sister Honey, she shared with me a couple of years back when she started on this consistent prayer. She was following this book, I think 40 days give me 40 days. So, for 40 days, what she did was, she had set an appointment at 11 PM at night. Right? So, he won't do anything except to spend that time with God. So, no appointments, no dinners, no late night show or anything. Just every night at 11, she will meet God in her own quiet time. So that is what we should do as well. Right? And of course, we can see how much spiritually she had grown. Okay, then the third thing is, you can also set the atmosphere. Now, this could be important to some and not so important to others, right? But, I'm just trying to say that, you are in charge. You can set the atmosphere. You can make yourself comfortable, You can light some candles. You can dim the light. You can make a glass of your favorite drink. You can play some music, soft music, worship. Just to create that atmosphere, to create the environment that can best help you to worship and focus on God. You see? So you are in control. So plan for that. Prepare for that. So it is important, that you are mentally prepared so that you can think clearly and you are physically alert so that you can hear from God. And another very important thing also is you have to prepare yourself in the sense that you have to be morally pure and clean. Because if you have sin in your life, then that would be a barrier to God. No, this is very important. If you have unintentionally or intentionally sinned, you have to confess it and come clean before God, right? So that, your communion, your relationship with God will not have a barrier. So that is very important. So we talk about setting the time, the place, and setting the atmosphere. Now I'm just gonna share with you, perhaps what are the procedure, or how do we pray, or how do we spend time with God. So the important key point here is we need to cultivate a two-way communication. It's not always about us talking to God all the time and then, okay, that's all God. That's all the time that I have. I need to go do my work now. No, we need to be able to talk to God freely and allow God to talk to us freely as well. So this is just a general guide, I just listed out some points here that every one of us can use. The first thing is, we can always start with worship and praise. We start our quiet time with God, we start with worship and praise. If you're not so much of a singer, you can always play the CD, the worship CD that you like, and you can sing along with it. You see, in our Lord's Prayer, the model prayer that Jesus gave us, we always open, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We open with a praise to our Father. So it is a great way to start your devotional time with worship and praise, and we sing to him from our hearts. So that is important. So you can use this suggestion, right, to start with worship and praise. And after a while, we also need to get still and quiet, right? The Bible says in Psalm 46 verse 10, be still and know that I am God. So what does it mean to be still? We need to focus our mind on him. We need to calm down. We need to relax. And we need to recognize his presence. We need to come in reverence. We need to take a deep breath and just be quiet and focus our thoughts on him. Also, so that is also one important part of devotion, right? And the next is, we need to get into the Word of God, right? Because you see, brothers and sisters, God speaks to us through His Word. So it is good to start your devotion time by reading the Bible. Sometimes it's better to start reading the Bible than start in prayer. Because when we read the Bible, God talks to us, right? Because, you know why? It is more important for us to hear from God than from God to hear from us sometimes. You see? Because God already know all about you. It is you who need to know more about God. You see? So read the Bible for quality, not for quantity. Right? So it is Of course, you know, it is good for us to have a goal to read the Bible. I remember, you know, at the beginning of this year, Pastor gave us, each and every one of us, a Bible guide to read throughout the year. And again, I must confess, I'm actually 3 months behind. I got a lot to catch up in this last quarter of the year, so hopefully, by the grace of God, I'm able to finish it by the end of this year. So it's good to have that kind of Bible, but we are not talking about that, you know. You need to spend different time for studying the Word, and this one I'm talking about is your devotional time. Even in your devotional time, it's not so much so about studying the Word. It's about meditating on the Word. It's about reading the Word, right? And trying to understand what God speaks to you through that Word, right? So, some of us, you know, we may start off by using a devotional book. Well, that would be good, right? If you have no idea, you can start off with a devotional book and meditate on that single verse. Usually it's just one or two words that we focus on or we meditate on that single day. Or, you know, you could just allow the Holy Spirit to guide you. You know, we have experienced this many times before when we pray here, you know, on Tuesday night, on Friday Bible study, even Friday overnight prayer. God speak to us through His Word. And we just meditate on that word and we ask God, what are you trying to say to this church? Right? So we allow the Holy Spirit to guide us. Or, you know, we can just open the Bible and read it with an open mind. Right? We ask God, we meditate on the Word. We focus on the Word of God and let it permeate us. And we ask the question like, you know, what does it say? What does this verse mean? How does it apply? You know, we need to ask smart questions, you see. Is this a command for us to obey? Is this a promise for us to claim? Or is this a sin for us to avoid? Or is this a lesson for us to learn? Or is this a new truth that we need to carry with me? So you see, we learn from this, we read from the Word, and we learn from this, and we allow God to speak to our spirit man, and we meditate on this Word throughout the day, not just that 15 minutes. We carry this Word with us throughout the day, and we let God speak to us. You see, that is what we need to do, right? We need to get into the Word of God. Now, after doing this, you know, we can do worship, we can do quiet time, we can do reading the Word. We can also prepare a journal and we write down. It's important also, we write down what God speaks to us, what God has given us. You know, we have to write down what God says to us and what He tells us to do. You know, you don't need to write down a flowery language, you know, because you're not publishing a book, right? You just need to jot down what God speaks to us, and it is also very good if you can share what God speaks to you. You can share with your brothers and sisters in Christ, you know, and you can discuss about it. It's actually a very good exercise. So, because in doing that, you know, you strengthened your other brothers and sisters in church, you know, and they can also share what God tells them, share with you, you know, their experience with God. So be practical, write it down. Right? Then, after all this, you know, we can also respond to God in prayer. Now, after hearing from God, we respond to God in prayer. Like I said earlier, you know, we can pour out our soul. You know, we can be natural and we can be honest with God. We can tell Him how we feel. You know, we feel tired, we feel stressed, we feel like giving up, we feel despair, we feel hurt. You know? Because you see, brothers and sisters, He is your friend. So tell Him about your joys and your fears, just like you tell any other friend, right? This is a friend that is not gonna leave you, and He is always on call, right? Not all of your friends is there when you call them. Sometimes they are busy, but God is always there when you call upon Him, right? So that is important. So pray to God, pour out, you know, tell Him about all that you feel. Even when you're happy, you tell God, you know. You got a promotion, or you got a successful project, or you got a compliment from your boss. Just show it to them. Share it with God. Let Him share your joy. So just treat your God like your husband, like I said just now, right? So tell Him all these things, right? And then finally, you know, whatever God speaks to you, obey it, right? It's no point that, you know, we listen from God to the word, you know, through prayer, and we jot it down in our diary, and then we don't do it. There's absolutely no point if we don't do what God tells us to do. So it's important, you know, for us to obey what God tells us. Because you see, our spiritual train, you know, this is another analogy, our spiritual train is actually running on two rails, you know. The train in the MRT or LRT, they actually run on two rails, right? So one rail is revelation. The other rail is actually obedience. Without one or the other, the train can't move. Right? So if either one of the rails stops, then the train stops. So we need to learn to obey the word of God. So that is just, see brothers and sisters, that is just some suggestions on how we can build this quiet time with God. Now, again, I must say this, you know, all the above are just a suggestion, it's not a law. Right? It's not a law to say that you should do this, you should do that, because, you know, ultimately, brothers and sisters, salvation is through faith in Jesus Christ, it's not through our own work. But we need to cooperate with Jesus Christ, we need to cooperate with His Spirit so that we can grow in maturity, so that we can grow to become that person that He wants us to be. You see? So, here are some other bits and pieces, some other tips that I find useful if indeed we are too busy. You see, one thing I do is I always pray before a meal. I'm sure a lot of Christians do this, but I treat it differently. Is because, if I pray before a meal, it's actually me acknowledging God providing His providence to me. And it's also me acknowledging that, I need food. I'm not immortal. Right? I need this providence. So I humble myself before God. See, if I don't eat, I will die. So I have to give thanks. So that is my small little altar when I eat. Right? So I give thanks and praise to God. So it is a great opportunity to acknowledge God for His blessing upon my life. And then another good point is, you know, when you pray, I find that it is also good for us to pray out loud. Some of us are not familiar to that, you see, but as you practice it, you know, you familiar yourself with that. Why do I say praying out loud is a good practice? Because you will keep your mind on track. Because sometimes, I mean, I don't know about you, I think faster than I speak. So if I don't pray out my prayers, my mind will just wander suddenly. Okay, that prayer is finished, and then you wander somewhere else. You see, that's what happened to our mind. Sometimes we just skip. 5 minutes, okay, I've done with my prayer. But it is different when you actually speak it out. And we know, you know, the word of God is life. And we speak it out, you know, it actually speaks into our own life. So it is good to speak out your prayer. So you will be on track. You will be focused. And many times, you know, when we pray here on Tuesday night, on Friday night, you know, as we pray out our prayers, you know, God will give us new revelation, new prayers to pray. Right? So that is a good thing, to pray out loud. You should start practicing this, right? It's also good to keep a journal, like I said, you know, a journal of what God speaks to us. And it's also good to pray, to have a journal of God's answered prayer. You know, every time we pray, we can write down, okay, today, 14th of October 2012, I prayed this prayer, and then when God answers it, you can write it down, how God answered it. So this is your little collection of your treasures. Right? Every time God answers prayer, sometimes when you're feeling down or you're feeling dejected, you read back of all your answered prayer, you will be refreshed because you will know God is faithful. Right? So it's good to carry a journal. Right? If it doesn't carry a journal, start this. I myself need to start. Right? I know I've been busy. I have a journal, but I don't write often into that. So I need to start myself. So, yeah, as I mentioned before, you can follow a daily devotional, either from email or from a book. And then, finally, one important thing is also, a lot of times we need to learn to say no to the busyness of life. Because everybody demands a time in our life, you know. Our husband demands a certain time, our wife will demand a certain time, our bosses, our employer will demand a certain time, our children will also demand time, our church also demand time from us. But we need to, at times, know how to say no and O to all this demand. I like you to refer back to Mark chapter 1 verse. Let's look at what Jesus says. Mark chapter 1 verse 36, 35. We can read from 35. Right? Just now I read, you know. This is an example I used just now. Mark chapter 1 verse 35. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place and there he prayed. Right? And verse 36 says, and Simon and those who were with him searched for him. And when they found him, they said to him, everyone is looking for you. And verse 38 says, but he said to them, let us go into the next town that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth. So do you realize what actually happened there? Jesus was so busy the day before doing all this miracle, and then in the morning when he went out to pray, his disciples, Simon and those who were with him, went around and searched for Jesus. And then when he found Jesus, there you are, everyone is looking for you, what are you doing there? So, you see, the disciples and all the people are all seeking Jesus, they want a piece of him, right? But you know what Jesus did? Jesus didn't say, okay, I'm coming, be with you in 5 minutes. He didn't say that. He said, no. Actually, he said, let us go to the next town that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth. So you see what happens is, Jesus is not so compliant to all the demands of his disciples, of the people. He know how to say no, because he know his purpose. He said here very clearly, because of this purpose, I have come forth. His purpose is not just to minister to this area. He need to go to the next town. He know in the next town, there are people waiting for them. So it's the same for us. We know our purpose here. Our life here is temporarily. Our destiny is in eternity. So we know our purpose. So sometimes we just need to say no to demands from other people. So we need to learn that, you see. So brothers and sisters, I'm coming to the end right now. So in conclusion, our ongoing daily time with the Lord will help us to increase our love for Him and enable us to please Him in all that we do. So it's very important. If you have been following the messages of Pastor James for the past month, Pastor James has been preaching on seeking the kingdom of God. So again, how do we seek the kingdom of God? This is part and parcel of it, is to spend time with God. And in closing, I just want to share with you a piece of message of revelation, if you could say, that God speaks to us. And I think in one of the Friday night prayer or Tuesday, I think it was a Friday night prayer, right? A few of us, the deacons was here, Sister J was here, Sister Honey was here, and I think it was Sister Honey who mentioned this, you know. He asked us to read from Matthew chapter 25 from verse 1 to verse 13. I want you to look at this as well. Matthew chapter 25, this is a parable of the virgins, right? Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, all had slumbered and slept. Verse 6, and at midnight a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins also came, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Brother and sister, this is a very strong reminder that night when we were doing that prayer, that we were led to read this parable of the 10 virgins. And we were asking ourselves, which type of virgins are we? Are we the one who were prepared with oil in our lamps? Or are we the foolish virgins who have an empty lamp with no oil in it? So brothers and sisters, we do not know when our Lord Jesus Christ will come again. It may be an hour from now. It may be tomorrow. And are we ready for His second coming? Are we preparing? Are we allocating our time in preparing for this moment of His second coming? Are we allocating our time to be in communion, to spend this time with God? Or are we being too busy with the cares of this world? So brothers and sisters, as I end now, let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank You for this message this morning, that You speak to every one of us about the importance of spending time with You. That we should get ourselves ready, that we should not slumber, that we should fill our lamps with oil, that when You come back, we will be ready to go with You into that wedding that You prepared for us. Oh Father God, I pray that You will strengthen us as we quicken this resolve, as we promise You that we will indeed, from now on, from this day onwards, allocate a certain time of our lives to spend that time with You, to spend that devotion with You. And as we spend this time with You, Father God, we pray, Lord, that You will speak through us, through Your word, that You continue to guide us, that You will fill us with Your Holy Spirit, that You, O Lord, will take hold of our hand and lead us through this world. Oh Father God, we thank You, Lord, that You give us wisdom and You promise to never forsake us. And it is only our will and our responsibility and our accountability to really devote ourselves for Your service. We thank You, Lord, for the wonderful gift of Your Jesus Christ and for the wonderful message this morning that You speak to every one of us. In Your name we pray. Amen.